560 KXNO. Ken Miller, Trent Condon. They are Miller and Condon on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO.
Right, good morning, everybody, and welcome to a Friday. It's Miller and Condon on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO, as we talk football with you for the next couple of hours on a busy, busy Friday today. Coming up on the BMW of Des Moines guest list, due to our schedule Wednesday, we had to switch Bill Bender around, so the sporting news is national college football columnist Bill Bender will slide on in here in about 15 minutes or so. We'll pick Bill's brain on the championship weekend, as what a weekend it will be. Sadly, the final one, but it should be a good one in college football. Dylan Montz, bottom of the hour, 10:30. The latest from Dylan. We'll find out recruiting, where Coach Campbell and company have been spending their week since the extension was announced. And one final check in with Dylan, I guess, as to where he thinks they're going bowling. Tom Cakert will be here. He'll preview Michigan, Iowa tonight. We'll also do Seton Hall, Iowa State with Dylan, of course. But Tom will do likewise with his bowl prognostication and preview a little hoops. In the 11 o'clock hour, we'll start with the NFL. Nick Athan on the Chiefs. Dave Sinekin on the Packers. Bama Bob, Trent, and I around college football. Claxons to give away. Picks to give out. How are you, Trent Condon? You must be feeling a little bit better about your team's quarterback after Mitchell Trubisky played, as well as he's played maybe ever.
Yeah, certainly
different
this year.
Different QB, Trent, since he was benched against the Rams. Can you point to that moment, maybe?
It seems that way, certainly, where they were talking about the hip injury. Yet, even with all that, Matt Nagy continued to stand by his man. We like to have fun with Sipple and Scott Frost and standing by your man, but that's really what it's been. And there was plenty of times to throw him under the bus. There was plenty of time for negativity. That would have been very easy to go with the veteran and go to Daniel, but he never did. He still stuck with his guy, and now I guess the fruits of those labor is starting to come out here, because that guy last night was a completely different guy than we saw for the first at least 10 weeks of the season.
Right. I mean, the interception that he threw in the first quarter was like, oh, God, here we go again.
Right, yes, yeah.
But then after that, Trent, you finished 23 out of 31, as accurate as he was. I mean, he had Troy Aikman think, boy, that was a dangerous pass. And Troy was known to throw, as all first-rate quarterbacks are in the NFL, narrow windows is where you gamble and where you make your money if you can put it in there. But he's running the football. He's using that dual threat that he was born with, gifted with, blessed with, and what a difference when he does.
Without that, he is not a whole lot there. He is not a guy that's going to throw it in the window, that incredibly tight window, time in and time out. That's not who he is as a quarterback.
Boy, but it was the reason, last night, though.
The reason that Ryan Pace fell in love with him, though, was not just his arm, but what he could do with his legs. That was a big piece of it. And for whatever reason this year, that went away. And maybe it was that hip injury that came to fruition in the Rams game. Maybe that had been bothering him throughout the year.
And when was that? Week 10 or 11?
Yeah,
I
mean, it was late. That very well could be the case. He wasn't running as well. And they said, well, let's try to protect him. Mm-hmm. And at this point, we got to go. You know, there's no holding back now. You have to do everything that's along with it. I was encouraged, certainly, as you have to be if you watch that game. But it's almost the same conversation we have with the Patriots. What my eyes are telling me is Tom Brady's done. What my eyes are telling me in this team...
Well, Tom Brady doesn't have a very good supporting cast.
It's more Tom Brady is not the same guy. Because
he's never had the supporting cast, other than, you know, a few exceptions.
With granted. Moss and Edelman's been a nice piece, and he had Wes Welker for a few years. Yeah, he's had those guys, but the guy we're seeing today looks different. But it's the Patriots, and you give them the benefit of the doubt. Well, this is kind of the other side of that coin. That looked really good last night. Mm-hmm. That guy looked like a star quarterback.
Yep.
But it's Mitchell Trubisky.
So what are
and there's
you
so
do?
Much data back behind him that he's not that good that it's hard for me to jump with both legs back up on that bandwagon and say, here they come. This team's going 10-6. We'll see you in the playoffs.
So they get Green Bay next week, which should be through the roof.
Yes.
Then the Chiefs. So they're going to see Rodgers, they're going to see Mahomes, and then they're going to be seeing Kirk Cousins in Week 17. Look, it's still a long, long, long shot that this team's going to make the playoffs.
Yes.
But in order to be still having that conversation, they had to take care of the Dallas Cowboys last night, and they did so. Look, the score ended up being a one-score game, Trent.
It wasn't.
But it really wasn't, was it?
Jerry Jones said as much afterwards.
Did he? I didn't hear him after the game.
He said the score didn't indicate how bad we got beat in this game.
Yeah, he's right.
Yeah.
What about Jason Garrett? I mean, apparently he said that he's going to...
He's going to be there.
Yeah. I mean, you're kind of rocking a hard place, right? I mean, the team is spinning their wheels. Here, it's going to all come down to Week 16. They beat the Eagles, they're going to the playoffs.
At
7-9. But if they beat the Eagles, let me take that back. They're not going to the playoffs. They are hosting a playoff game, which is ridiculous in and of itself.
Uh-huh.
And we've 7-9.
How many times before? The Seattle team that went there 7-9. And
they won a game, didn't they?
They won a game.
And they got beat by the Bears?
Is that who they got beat by?
I think so, yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Good memory there. There was a team, 7-8-1 Rams team, I think, one year that got in. Same thing. Three of these teams that have had 8-8 or worse records that have hosted playoff games have won games with this current structure. I'm fine with giving them a playoff berth.
Right, I am too.
They win your division, okay.
Yeah.
Don't we have to do it different?
Yeah, I think you do. Especially if there's a head-to-head with a wild card team that had a better record or played you in the regular season and beat you for instance, the Vikings. If it's the Cowboys, you know that the Vikings didn't play the Cowboys, did they? Yeah, they did. Did they?
They did. Yeah,
they did. Of course they did. They matched up divisions. I don't know if the Vikings beat the Cowboys, do the Vikings get that spot because. You know, they're going to be 10-6 or whatever they're going to be as they get into the playoffs as a wild card. I don't know. There's work to be done. Far more smarter minds than the one I own will be asked to determine this. But
there's a real possibility that a team, either the 49ers or the Seahawks, could be 12-4
and have to go on the road.
And have to go on the road to a 7-9 team.
Right.
5-game difference.
Yep. And the only possible way you have a possible hope of hosting a playoff game if the 6 seed advances to the championship weekend. And you get there as the 5. So you're 100% right, Trent. 100% right.
There has to be a better way.
There does.
Get in, fine.
Yep. But this year
you're going to be the 6 seed.
Right. This year we know what lies ahead, and that's the winner of the NFC East is going to host a playoff game. And man, but so back to our original take here. So Jason Garrett, 3 games left. I don't know who you would bring in to light a fire under this team.
Right, like,
maybe it's Troy Aikman, but he's busy.
You're not going to give it to Kellen Moore.
No.
Who's the offensive coordinator.
No.
You know, I'm actually looking at their coaching staff right now. Their offensive, John Kitna, young guy coach. He doesn't have that kind of experience.
Yeah, played in the league as a quarterback for a million years, but yeah.
The guy that has offensively the most tenure in the NFL is Doug Nussmeier, who's risen above... Tight ends coach.
Who else is on that staff?
Well, Rod Marinelli.
Yeah, Rod Marinelli would be the guy. Right.
Right. That's who you hand it off to.
What's wrong with him? Did you see him limping on? Did he get hurt in a game or something?
He's old.
No, but he was. I mean, he could hardly walk when they showed him on the sidelines.
Get rolled up on or something.
Maybe I'm wondering if that was the case or. Yeah, I don't know, but I felt a cringe kind of trying to watch him move up and down the sidelines. Anyways, good win for your Bears last night.
Yeah.
Bears fans, you're still alive. You still have hope. You have to run the table. I don't think there's any way around that. 9-7 is a real long shot, but here's the good news. You've got the Packers. You have got the Vikings. Chiefs going to be a little salty, but you've got to. I mean, and look at the quarterbacks. You get Rodgers, Mahomes, and Kirk Cousins in the next 3 weeks. But your quarterback looks as though he belongs.
He does. And the defense.
At least he did last night.
The injury right away.
Yeah, Roquan Smith.
To Roquan Smith, and he's done.
Yeah, torn pec, you're done.
Yep.
Now, it hasn't been announced officially.
But listening to Nagy afterwards, it sounded.
Yeah, he didn't have much hope, did he?
No. But again, the depth of this defense, that's something that's incredibly impressive with this team.
Yeah, tell me about Kevin Pierre-Lewis, who came in 57. Trent, he was terrific.
He was.
Now, he was in for, was he in for, no. Kwiatkowski was in for Trevathan, and Pierre-Lewis came in for Smith. And both of those guys, Kyle Fuller played his you-know-what off, too, last night. I thought he was going to have a walk-in pick. Boy, he baited Dak Prescott last night. He just baited him. Down by the goal line, the Cowboys were pinned deep in their own end, and I don't know who he was going to. Might have been Amari Cooper, but let's do the other side of the coin. As good as the Bears were, as the Cowboys on the other end. Trent, there is too much talent on this football team for them to be underachieving the way that they are.
They couldn't get to Trubisky.
No.
And against the offensive line that has been as maligned as the Bears line.
I mean, Aikman, did you hear him in the first, after the first quarter? He said he
I got to say, I didn't hear much of it because I was watching on fast forward.
Okay.
Wife's birthday.
Oh, I understand.
We were out last night, so this was a DVR watch last night with a 30-second fast forward.
Well, what Aikman said was he, and he goes, go back and listen to it, I thought that the Cowboys defensive line would feast on that offensive line.
I thought the exact same thing. That's when we were both talking about the Cowboys yesterday. Mm-hmm. That was a big reason for it. Bears offensive line's been terrible.
Yeah, not last night.
No.
Really good.
They continue to go to Montgomery. They didn't, all right, well, it's not really working. No, keep pounding the rock with him and get him 20 carries, and that's exactly what they did.
And then he broke one for 20 yards.
Mm-hmm. These are the things that you have to do. They got the tight ends back involved. And just on and on and on.
So tell me about Green Bay, Chicago's favorite tight end now, Holtz. I mean, Trent, where's this been?
Right?
This guy lumbering down the sidelines for a huge game. What did he pick up, 30, 35 yards on that
and
one?
And he said afterwards, I watched a lot of the post game over on NBC Sports Chicago, and he was saying, I thought I was going to score. Dude, you're I don't care how open it is, you're not scoring on that play.
But he's a big dude. He was punishing some guys that were trying to bring him to the ground. Yeah, he was terrific.
Don't
in the
look now. Akeem Hicks is going to be back next week.
Mm-hmm. Well, look at Trent. They've got a chance. You know, it was really good, and maybe I don't appreciate him or watch as much, and I watch a lot of Bear. Allen Robinson's one of the best receivers in the league.
He is. He's not going to burn by you.
No, he's not, but he's just going to make plays.
He is so good on those sidelines and finding, if Trubisky can find that window, he's going to come down with it. Two more touchdowns. He's played really well. He's been a big part of this resurgence, too, what he's done the last 2 weeks.
And I think Anthony Miller's light is clearly going on.
Yes, you were in front of that because maybe I was just a little bit more down on him of what they had to use to get him.
Now, he had a bad drop in the football game, but it happens. But he made a ton of play. But Allen Robinson, you know, when you think about, you know, the best receivers in the league, seldom does, I mean, he doesn't pop in your mind, but the more I watch him, the more I think, boy, oh boy, he's a reliable dude.
Another Penn State dude. Aren't there a lot of those?
Penn State and Ohio State.
Yes.
You know, you can't watch Sunday night football or whenever NBC's got the telecast and they're introducing the offense and the defense. I love that, by the way. I think that's a real cool feature. Trying to remember where they played and get it out. At least that's what I do. Okay, Bill Bender coming up here in just a couple of minutes. We'll switch from the NFL game to the college game. Just an unbelievable weekend starting tonight with the Pac-12 championship. I think Fowler and Herbstreit, in fact, I'm pretty sure because I saw them tweeting from there, that that's their game tonight, which is smart because A, it's a standalone. B, they are the A team, and their primetime game on Saturday night, they're stuck with that ACC dog. I mean, Clemson and Virginia, that's prime time? Please. I get it. In this part of the country, most of the TVs are going to be tuned to Fox for the Big Ten championship, and whether that's much of a game or not remains to be seen. But boy, oh boy, Clemson, Virginia, it's a good move, I think, that ABC assigned Fowler and Herbstreit to Santa Clara tonight. Let's get Bill Bender in here, sportingnews.com. He'll be, I'm guessing, in Indy this week. And Bill, Trent, and Ken, thanks for coming on. How are you, Bill Bender?
Oh, I'm going to go to my kids' basketball game and walk. You know, last couple of years I went to the Big Ten championship game. The bad thing about it, Ken, is it's so late that it, you know, people just move on to the playoff.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. And I don't know, I mean, is that going to be a good, make a case, Bill, that we're going to be on the edge of our seat, whether we have a dog in the fight or not, or whether we have a bet on the game or not, if we're college football fans, will there be drama in the final quarter in Indianapolis?
I can try to make a case for one. I don't think there will be, but
right.
I think, you know, Michigan kind of showed Wisconsin what to do with Chase Young and, you know, in terms of trying to block and chip him so he can't wreck the game plan single-handedly. Maybe Jack Cohn hits some passes. Maybe Jonathan Taylor has a monster game, and maybe Ohio State just isn't engaged because I think unless they get blown out, they're going to get in anyway at this point.
Yeah, I'm with you. Do you think, let me run this scenario by, because I think it's pretty easy. I'm anxious to see if you agree. If Georgia beats LSU, they'll change in the number beside their name, but the four teams that were announced on Tuesday night remain the same regardless of who wins the Pac-12 or the Big 12. Do you see it that way, Bill?
Yep.
Yeah, me too.
I think it'll kind of squelch all the drama that could come from tonight. Like you said, Herbie and Fowler are going to be there tonight. Should be a fun game. And if Utah wins, they're going to be feeling good. And then, you know, if Oklahoma or Baylor wins, they're going to be feeling good. And then Georgia could just end that. And I think they would seed it Ohio State, Clemson, Georgia, LSU.
Yeah.
And that'd be fun.
Yeah.
That'd be fun to get Clemson and Georgia and Atlanta. And then, you know, LSU and Ohio State out in the Fiesta Bowl. Those would be two really good matchups.
So early on, of course, most eyes are going to be tomorrow watching the Big 12 championship game with Baylor and Oklahoma. Both teams not just trying to win, but do it with some style points along with it. But I am intrigued. No, not with your Mac and your alma mater, Ohio, though they're not there. Not that game. The Sun Belt championship game. Appy State took a pretty inexplicable loss themselves earlier this season, but still maybe a path for them. Can they get to the New Year's Six with the victory here and say Cincinnati does knock off Memphis? Can Appy State be playing in the Cotton Bowl?
Maybe. They'd probably need Boise to lose, too.
Gotcha.
And they get both of those, maybe. I mean, fantastic job for App. I think that's the best bet there. I think Memphis, even though it's hard to win rematches, I think Memphis gets it done. They move on, and they get to the Cotton Bowl, which would be a great accomplishment for them. The only question is, will Mike Norvell be around to coach them?
Where do you have him going?
Well, I mean, there's obviously Florida State's been linked, and that would be interesting if that's the move, because as I've said all along, I mean, Memphis has skilled position dudes in the NFL, and that's what Florida State needs. And if they can get some of that going again, then maybe they'd be a little bit better.
You know, you mentioned, Bill, the rematches are hard to win. I think Baylor's got a big chance in this football game. They for whatever reason, all year long, they won one close game after another. Every single one of them went their way, so they know how to win those games where maybe they're not, you know, the best team on the field, but find a way to pull it out in the fourth quarter. Now, ironically, against Oklahoma, they gave one away late in the football game after getting that lead. Can Baylor beat Oklahoma?
They can. They have to try to psychologically put away the second half of the last one, where Oklahoma just got up and down and made it look easy. They have to be ready for the stage they're going to be on. Oklahoma's used to that, obviously, with Lincoln Riley. And, again, I think if Utah loses tonight, which could happen, then that's just going to amp up the pressure on both teams. You wonder how tight they'll play, knowing that, you know, they'll have a chance. Because I do think LSU is going to beat Georgia. I do think Oregon could beat Utah tonight. I picked it in our picks. It's a little bit of an upset pick. So I think that could lead to a furious Big 12 championship game between those two teams.
So as we go through these matchups, Ken brought up the SEC championship and if Georgia would pull the upset there. I want to look at that game individually and what you anticipate. See, a great defense against a great offense. LSU had struggled up until the A&M game so much defensively, yet Georgia has their own issues on the offensive side of the football. How in your mind is this thing going to play out?
Well, I mean, I think Georgia's got to run the football and limit LSU's possessions, and their defense has to be awesome, which it's been all year. So I think they've got a chance. I mean, Georgia's not going to be blown away by the spotlight either. Jake Fromm's played in this game three times. So, you know, on the other side, LSU's offense, I think they just get it up and down with those receivers. Joe Burrow caps the Heisman, and the Tigers get to the pool.
Yeah, I can clearly see that being the case. Bill, who do you have right now? We don't know who the four is. If you're right and LSU does knock off Georgia, then you know, let's make it a five-team playoff, and we'll put Oklahoma and Utah in for the sake of this discussion.
They can play right after Army-Navy next
There
week.
You go, and that'll decide the four, which I'd like to see, by the way.
Put that thing in Kansas City. Neutral site match.
Works for me. Clemson is my team, Bill. I don't know what it is about him. I mean, Dabo, he's pushing the right buttons, I guess, with his team. Doesn't come across the best nationally. I mean, we're, you know, Dabo, you know, what did Feinbaum call him? Not the most, whatever he did. He took some shots at him earlier this week. Clemson, to me, looks as though they're the team that's kind of lying in the weeds. As much as an unbeaten team can lie in the weeds, that's about to, I think, show us again who the best team is in college football at the expense of maybe Ohio State.
Yeah, they're really good. And, you know, they're going to probably go to the playoff with a 28-game win streak. And Dabo and Feinbaum, that's been an interesting back and forth. But I don't get what Dabo's doing, because I do on some level. Yeah, they're getting disrespected a little bit. Yeah, they're going to end up being a three seed. Maybe it's designed because they're probably going to ship them out to the Fiesta Bowl, and it's a little bit harder for Clemson fans to get out there. Maybe that's the deal. But they had a ton of fans out in Santa Clara last year, so I don't even know if that's it. So I think just something to watch. But that's a team that has an opportunity. You're right. I mean, they're scoring more points than last year. They're giving up fewer points. They still have Trevor Lawrence. They're going to probably beat Virginia pretty soundly, and they're going to be back in the playoffs for the fifth straight time.
Bill, back to Tuesday and the revealing of the rankings. One thing that bothered me, and I am not a apologist of Nick Saban in Alabama, as I told Ken afterwards, but it really did bother me that Alabama falls all the way down to number 12. The only argument is, well, Tua's hurt. It's not the same team. They just put 45 points up on Auburn, at Auburn, one of the best defenses in the country here. What in your mind could possibly be the justification dropping them if you thought they were the fifth best team down to 12 after that loss?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why they did that, and I didn't agree with it. And I think you know, they probably still deserve to be in the New Year's Day Six Bowl. I watched Tua's press conference yesterday, and yeah, you know, they've got some big picture decisions coming as well. But yeah, Alabama. I mean, I don't, you know, if you're Michigan or Iowa or Minnesota, I don't know if you want Alabama in the Citrus Bowl. Depending on you know, those who remember the last time they played in one of those, they beat Michigan State, and I think there was blood on my television. It was bad.
Right. Bill Bender from the Sporting News is our guest. Well, Bill, look, it's a year that, you know, we don't have Alabama, and I think the country's fine with that. What's the biggest story in college football? Maybe we should save this for after, but to this point, regular season-wise, biggest story in college football, whether that be a team that you didn't see coming or a team that has really fallen off everybody's preseason expectations. Where do you want to go with that one?
Joe Burrow is the biggest story this year. Just what he did for that team, Joe Brady and Joe Burrow combined you know, topple Alabama with this offense, put LSU back in the playoff. Not only that, Joe Burrow will probably be the number one pick in the NFL draft.
He will be, I think, yeah.
And that's all in one season with scheme and transfer quarterbacks and all those things. And, you know, I think the biggest story in the Big Ten is just, it got magnified last week, that Ohio State's just that much better than everybody. And I mean, you guys, let's take Ohio State out of the Big Ten. Would it be more fun watching Penn State, Michigan, Iowa, and Wisconsin fight for conference titles? But I think everybody knows the result. Yeah. Ohio State's just better.
Yeah, no, I agree. You know, I saw some of that Ohio State-Michigan game. You watch a lot of football. I watch a lot of football. I've never seen two defenders try and take a running back shoe off at the bottom of the pile like they did for Dobbins. That didn't get enough. I don't think that got enough coverage this week, Bill. That's an all-timer. Do you remember what I'm speaking of?
Yeah, I untied a kid's shoe at the bottom of the pile. I didn't take it off, though. I just untied it because I knew it would annoy him. So now I didn't like him. but, yeah, I mean, those things happen, but that was weird. I mean,
it's all time.
Ohio State literally, I mean, I got to fill my Heisman ballot out over the weekend, and they have three choices. Like, they have three guys you could put on there out of the three candidates, and it'll be interesting to see which one has a big game this weekend. I do think it's going to end up being Justin Fields, though.
Do you? Do they cancel each other out, maybe?
Well, I think one of them will get there. It's just a matter of two. And I think Jalen Hurts has got a good shot at being a finalist.
Yeah.
And I think it's Joe Burrow's to lose at this point.
Tom Allen, last thing, seven-year deal with a new seven-year deal with Indiana, $28 million, just shy of that, so roughly $4 million in the average value of the contract per year. Good for him. I like what he's doing with the Hoosiers. This team's arrow is clearly pointing upward. I think he deserves this, don't you?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, I mean, for him to continue to fight the good fight, I mean, it's not easy to coach against those teams in the division.
Right.
But he's taking steps in the right direction. They won eight games, and this means that Ole Miss is not going to get them. So good for Tom Allen.
Bill Bender, SportingNews.com. Bill, we'll have Bulls next time we talk. Thank you, Bill Bender. Appreciate you coming on this morning.
Hey, no problem. Thanks, Ken. Thanks,
good to talk to you. Bill Bender, Sporting News, SportingNews.com. Dylan Mons from the Ames Tribune, Tom Kakert from Hawkeye Report. That's what's left in the 10 o'clock hour. Trent and I take you until noon on Des Moines Sports Station 14.
Merry Christmas.
sports radio in Iowa starts and ends right here. This is Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO.
All right, Miller and Condon, welcome back to Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO. Tom Cakert coming up in 15 minutes or thereabouts. I'll preview tonight's Michigan-Iowa tilt. They've never won in the month of December in Big Ten play. I'm speaking of the Hawks. Perhaps tonight that will change, or Monday against Minnesota, or perhaps it won't. Dylan Mott's going to join us right now. Let's get him in here. We'll take a look ahead to Seton Hall as well as that rematch comes up on Sunday night. Dylan, Trent, and Ken, thanks for coming on. Dylan Mott, how are you?
Doing well, guys. How about you?
Doing okay. You know, let's start with the... let's start football, first of all, and see if you've zeroed in anymore. But I guess my first question I want to ask is, you know, when you do your mailbag or people are reaching out to you via Twitter, Cyclone fans I'm referring to, I get the sense, Dylan, that, you know, they'll go to Memphis, but boy, it'd sure be nice to go to Memphis knowing that the team on the other side of the field is from a Power 5 conference. See, that is the SEC. But there's a pretty good chance that they're not going to get that. Correct. It looks as though maybe Cincinnati, maybe Memphis, if they get beat
SMU.
Tonight. SMU. And maybe an SMU.
Navy, I saw in one of the projections.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Oof. That's not ideal, especially when you consider how many times they've been to Memphis with the recent history as recently as 2 years ago.
Yeah, I think, and that's the whole thing, is not getting a Power 5 opponent again when you go down there is kind of just a rough draw, because I think last year Oklahoma State was down there. Did they play Missouri, I think?
Yes, I believe you're right.
So, I mean, it seems like every other time a Big 12 team goes down there, they always get an SEC opponent, but Iowa State's been down there 3 of the 5 times they've been bowl eligible this decade, and it's always been a mid-major type mm-hmm. of team. So, yeah, I've seen Navy a lot. I think out of those that you mentioned, Cincinnati would probably be the best draw because they're the maybe closest feel to a Power 5 mm-hmm. team. But I think right now it's the Liberty Bowls feeling like the most likely scenario, with a couple others in play, depending maybe on how the Big 12 title game goes.
Is that what you're hearing from readers at the Ames Tribune and from people that have reached out to you on Twitter, that, yeah, we really want to go to the bowl game, but if we don't get a Power 5 opponent, we may not pull the trigger?
I haven't had a ton of people say that to me directly, but I think that's kind of the sense I would get, just the recency of going to Memphis, and it almost feels like there's a little bit of a been there, done that type of feel to it, just because of the frequency of going. I think, you know, and Memphis can be kind of cold. Ken, I know you probably remember from last time, it's freezing down there. You know, the outdoor practices that Iowa State had, I was just pacing up and down the field trying to stay warm. Yeah. But I think that's probably another thing, is if you go to the Camping World Bowl, there's kind of an outside shot as that is. That's a warm place. If you go to the Cheez-It Bowl in Phoenix, I think people would mm-hmm. take that, even though it's quote-unquote lesser status bowl, just because you get the warm climate. But if it is Memphis, I would advise people to bundle up if they do make the trip.
Not going to see the numbers, I don't think, traveling that we saw last year to the Alamo Bowl, but one thing that Jamie Pollard, I'm sure, is using when he's talking to these bowls is the way that they travel. I don't think it's going to impact in a big level, certainly the reputation that's going to be there for Iowa State, but is that a part two where people may be on the fence saying, you know what, this is kind of who we are. This is what Iowa State fans do. We travel regardless of who it's going to be.
Yeah, I think there's a certain level of ownership in that kind of idea. People, whether it was, I'm trying to think of the different bowls that I've kind of seen. You know, obviously in 09 when they went to the Inside Bowl, people went in droves down mm-hmm. there to to Memphis in 2012.
Houston in 2000, five against TCU, I think they played in Houston, right?
Yep, I remember watching that on TV. It looked like there were tons of fans down there. So I think, regardless, there will be a good contingent, just because the idea you mentioned, Trent, I think that is kind of part of it's the whole tailgating idea, too, that exists in Ames. So I think that all plays into it. But it will be interesting to see, especially if it is Memphis, especially if it is against a non-Power 5 team, the kinds of numbers we're talking about. But I'm not by any means saying that it's going to be an empty stadium. There will be people that go, especially if it's a drivable place like Memphis.
Well, they got to the Independence Bowl or whatever that godforsaken was is in Shreveport. Right. They showed up there in good numbers. So, yeah, I agree. We'll see. Well, before I forget about this, I want to find out where Campbell's been, if you've got any intel on that, and then a quick thing on basketball. Let me pick your brain on the championship game tomorrow morning, Baylor and Oklahoma. Of course, you were in the building for both. Baylor with a big lead on them when they played head-to-head. Oklahoma comes roaring back and picks them off. I think Baylor's going to give them a game. I do, Dylan. I know there's not a lot of people out there that that agree with me. Do you think Oklahoma runs away with this one? Is it going to be entertaining tomorrow morning?
Yeah, I think it'll be entertaining to a certain extent. I don't think it'll be the last time those two played where Baylor dominates in the first half and then Oklahoma storms back. I don't think it'll be as divided between halves as that game was. I think there will be some back and forth, but ultimately I think Oklahoma it just has the playmakers, especially with CeeDee Lamb on the outside. If Jalen Hurts is able to run the ball effectively, I think they just have a little bit too much for Baylor to overcome. But I've been kind of, the Baylor's had close calls and maybe won a couple games they should have lost. But, you got to give them credit. They've played incredibly well. Matt Rhule has done a good job. And I think it will be an entertaining game, just maybe not the wildly entertaining kind of performance that it was a few weeks ago in Waco.
All Big 12 teams come out. Biggest snub, if there is one, eight guys named to the first couple of teams, and biggest surprise for you on those lists?
Yeah, I'll go with the surprise first. I thought Julian Gajon's making first team. I didn't know if he would get that kind of recognition.
I'm with you.
But I think it's deserved. I think he's had a really good year. He's anchored that line and into becoming something that, a lot of us wondered if they could reach that kind of level to allow mm-hmm. Breece Hall to be as productive as he's been, to give Brock Purdy time to have the kind of year, where we've seen a bunch of single-season records fall and some career ones even, which is kind of incredible to think, just to him being a sophomore. But that's probably the biggest surprise. The biggest snub.
Spears, maybe? Because I think he was honorable mention, was he not?
Yeah, probably Spears. We might have even talked about this before, that he's a little bit of a guy that goes under the radar for whatever reason. And he is productive, but... Yeah, but maybe a little bit surprising that he didn't make it second team. And then, the other maybe surprise I thought was Eisworth getting first team. I just thought with the way he was banged up this year that he wouldn't have the kind of visibility that maybe he had last year. But obviously, did enough and showed up enough and, was instrumental enough in the defense that the coaches, wanted him on there. So I think those are probably the bigger ones that stand out to me, but I thought Iowa State was pretty well represented.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, that's a good point on Eisworth. Reputation maybe got him that spot. Not that he's not good enough when he's healthy to warrant that choice, because he's such a good football player. Where's Campbell and staff been this week? What are they focusing on, Dylan? Any idea as they hit the road this week prior to getting back for the bowl announcement?
Yeah, a lot of it so far has just been kind of checking in on commitments. I know I've seen coaches tweet here and there about where they've been. I know DK McDonald, the safeties coach, has been down in San Antonio visiting the three kids they have down there. Mm-hmm. And Nate Shieldhouse has been kind of all over the place. I know the other day he was just in Florida visiting Aiden Bitter, who's a wide receiver commit. And last I saw Matt Campbell, at least on Twitter, was he was in Kansas visiting some of the commitments down there. I think Johnny Wilson, the defensive end, and Hayden Paul's on offensive line. So I think that's what a lot of this week is about, is just checking in with those kids. And then, once they get past signing day, then they kind of plug the holes here and there on some of the things they need to finish off the 2020 class, and then start really heavy on 2021.
Yeah, he's been in a lot of living rooms. I've seen some of those pictures on Twitter as well. Dylan, great stuff. When we reconvene next week, we'll know where they're going. We'll know who the opponent's going to be, and maybe get into a little bit on that. Dylan Montz from the Ames Tribune. Dylan, thank you. Will you be? Is there any gathering on Sunday afternoon for the announcement? Do you know? Will the media get access to the team?
Yep, we will. So Sunday afternoon at some point, depending on when the announcement is, it could be there's some wiggle room. But, yeah, Sunday afternoon we'll hear from Matt Campbell and I'm sure some of the players.
Good stuff, Dylan. Thank you.
Yep, thanks, guys. Take care.
Have a good weekend. Dylan Monts, Ames Tribune, amestrib.com. Time out. We'll switch from the Clones to the Hawks. They've got a relatively big game tonight.
A little important, huh?
Michigan, Iowa, 5:30, FS1. What a wonderful tip time. We'll come back. We'll talk.
Not everybody has the same flexibility as you can.
Yeah, but it's, yeah, well, that's true. I'm fortunate that way. But then, you know, 2 hours later, you'll miss maybe the first half of the first quarter.
Yeah.
Switch over to Herb Street and Fowler. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back with Tom Kakert. Miller and Condon till noon. Des Moines Sports Station, 1460.
Appliances.
Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO.
All right, welcome back. Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO. Michigan, Iowa, 5:30 tonight. You can... If you're not in front of your television, you can hear the game down the hall on 1040 WHO. Let's get Tom Kakert in here, talk some football, talk some basketball, talk some recruiting. I guess, Tom, good to talk to you. Let's start there. The tight end, the Canadian tight end, Theo Johnson, right?
Theo Johnson. Our tight end.
Making his decision on Monday, Tom. If you're a tight end, and you look at what Iowa, the history, the recent history, the Ferentz history with tight ends in the NFL, has to be, I don't know, does that tip the scales in the Hawks' favor?
Maybe. It certainly kept them in the running for Johnson, who's, you know, got some high-profile opportunities, Michigan, Penn State in the mix, Georgia in the mix.
Wow.
I think that Penn State has kind of been the leader, at least for a while, and he was supposed to decide right after his Michigan visit, and then he put that off. So that kind of gives everybody a little moment of pause and say, well, maybe they're not the leader that we thought they were. So I kind of think I was really in there. Kirk and Brian were in there this week for a home visit. So, I think the Hawkeyes are right there. Now, does that mean they're getting them? No. I think everybody right now is still in the dark as to what he's going to do.
Interesting there, recruiting. What is left for this class? Of course, they're going to be signing with the new early signing date coming up here not too long away. But what else do you anticipate, if anything, for the December signing period?
I don't know that there's going to be anything else for December other than Theo Johnson. They would take him. But I kind of get the feeling that they're just going to roll the dice here a little bit and then just kind of keep looking around, poking around, and see if they can get something else going if they feel like they've got a need. The thing that you'll find out here in the next, few weeks, I think, is who's going in the portal.
Yes.
Are there guys that are really thinking about the NFL, you get some clarity with guys like Epinesa, Wirfs. I think there'll be a couple other guys that at least, get the feedback from the NFL. I don't know that they'll officially declare, but, if their feedback comes back positive, then maybe that adjusts some things. So I think then they'll start poking around a little bit more and seeing if there's some other things. Plus, they've given 3 scholarships now to guys after the Nebraska game. So you've got 3 scholarships that are now accounted for moving forward.
And all 3 of those scholarships, well-earned, no doubt about that. I thought that, and I said earlier in the week, I thought Smith Marset might explore. I think he's had a really good year, Tom, and I think you make a case he's the MVP on offense. I probably won't, there wouldn't be a big line behind me lining up on that one. But, when you factor in a special teams play, and as many have pointed out, the receivers at the top of the draft this year, I mean, it is such a deep receiver class. Maybe that doesn't, but does he at least go to the exploratory route, do you think?
Yeah, I've heard that he's probably going to do that to at least get the feedback, and he should.
Absolutely.
If you're a junior and you've been a multi-year starter, contributor, player, you want to get that feedback and say, okay, well, where do I stand? I think Geno Stone's probably in that same boat. I think Chauncey Golson's probably in that same boat, where those guys probably, you know, will find out, yeah, they're at least going to get the feedback. Now, the next step is, do they decide that they want to, you know, the feedback's good enough, or they want to bet on themselves and leave? Then that's their decision. But, you know, I think they're going to get some information at least.
We'll get to basketball in a second. My last thing football-wise, Trent, I'm not sure you have another one or not, but it seems, Dom, that it'd be a, maybe not a major upset, but certainly an upset if the bowl announcement doesn't, when it comes to the Holiday Bowl, if Iowa's not named as one of the two schools headed to San Diego. It seems like all signs point to Iowa in the Holiday Bowl. You see it that way as well, or do you think there's an outside chance maybe Florida's in play?
I think there is an outside chance, but I just don't. I think, you know, I've been saying this for a while. It's like the Holiday Bowl and Iowa have been circling into each other for about 3 years, and now I think they're going to decide that they want to date and, you know, and go to a game together. It just seems that that's kind of been the feeling for a while. You know, if craziness happens tomorrow, then maybe, you know, some things shake out differently, but I don't really see a lot of craziness tomorrow. And maybe I'll be proven wrong, but I just don't.
Tom, let's get into basketball tonight. A Friday night tilt, 5:30 tip-off with Michigan on the agenda. The Wolverines look great over Thanksgiving and what they did in their holiday tournament. Come back and get throttled by Louisville during the ACC Big Ten Challenge.
Good Louisville team, too.
Oh, no doubt. Maybe the best team in the country. Yeah. They are ranked number one. What do you anticipate we're going to see tonight, and what concerns you with Iowa going into Ann Arbor?
Yeah, Michigan just kind of ran into a buzzsaw, I thought. Just maybe a little bit of a hangover coming out of the Bahamas to, you know, get back, and then you got to go to Louisville and play a Louisville team that's going to be gunning for you, number one in the country. I thought they just, you know, kind of got hit right out of the gate and never fully recovered. They got back in, made it tight for a little bit. So, but then Louisville ended up a comfortable win. I think the thing you're concerned with Iowa is they played those two games in Vegas. Then they had to go all the way up to Syracuse, and now they're back in a plane and going, and you know, four guys played 36 minutes the other night. That's after playing a lot of minutes in two straight games. And the depth is an issue right now. CJ Frederick's going to be coming back, but we don't know what's going on with Temsil. And I thought Fran was kind of, it was almost like one of those, you're going to have to talk to him kind of moment at his press conference yesterday, that I think he's maybe a little frustrated there with Cordell. And we'll see what happens, but if he plays or not. But I just worry that I was maybe going to get hit with a little bit of a buzzsaw tonight, too.
Give me a little more on the Pemsel thing. That's something that's escaped me. So France frustrated with him in what way? In what regard, Tom?
It just seemed like it. It was like his comment was, and they eliminated out of the transcript, but it was just along the lines of, it was just a little bit of, well, you know, I don't know what's going on with him. Kind of, you know, so it was just kind of an offhand remark towards the end of when he was asked about it. And I just kind of took it like, boy, it seems like maybe he's a little frustrated with Cordell right now.
So we're still waiting the decision next Thursday. Probably we'll see after the Iowa State game what it's going to be for Jordan Bohannon. Reading your message boards, and there's rumors and there's innuendo flying there too. But sounds like maybe the hip injury and coming back from that, maybe there's a little bit more here that it's just a foregone conclusion. He'll try to work through that Iowa State game, but it's going to happen.
Yeah, I'll just say this. I think it'll be really clear what's going on after Iowa State.
Okay.
And that everybody will go, okay, now I see why he's shutting it down. He's just, it's a tough situation for him, and he's playing through it, and I just, you know, I think he wants to, I think it's part self-motivated, you know, for himself, because he wants to get a little bit closer to that Big Ten three-point record that John Diebler holds, and he's grown closer and closer to it. But he, you know, from the beginning, he's always said, I want to play a full, healthy season. And he's not going to be able to do that this year. He's just not. It's going to be impossible for him to do. So he's taken advantage of this this rule. And as we know, Jordan and the NCAA have a very complicated relationship.
So, yes, for sure.
I think he's kind of sticking it to him a little bit here, taking advantage of him.
Good for him.
Which is his right, which is absolutely his right to do. And he's going to keep playing his 10 games, and then he'll shut things down, and he'll move on and get healthy and hopefully have a great senior year.
Tommy, you have 30 seconds left. Along those lines, did you see a report earlier in the week that some dope with the NCAA is actually going to put this on an agenda somewhere, that they're going to have to revisit the four games that kids are allowed to play in before it's held against them for a year in football? Did you see that asinine discussion that was started this past week, Tom, that they're actually thinking about taking this opportunity away from students?
I did not, and it would be crazy if they did. It's been so well received, I think, from the player perspective.
And coaches, yes, sure.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah. I think it's a great thing, then they can't get rid of it.
I'm with you, but watch it. I saw it somewhere, and I think it was a legit source that I saw. Tom, great stuff. We'll recap CyHawk with you a week from today. We'll know where the Hawks are going bowling, and he's going to provide us with more 411 on Jordan Bohannon. Thank you, Tom Kakert.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Good to talk to you. Tom Kakert, HawkeyeReport.com. 11 o'clock hour coming up next. We'll start with NFL conversation. Chiefs and the Packers, two of the locals in the spotlight. Bama Bob, Trent, and I around college football. Picks and klaxons before we get out of here at noon. It's Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO.